is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Anthony Everett and Roddy Ashworth continuing the story of Nero, matricide, music, and murder in Imperial Rome. We move from the stage set of Rome itself across the Roman Empire to Britain, Great Britain today. But to the Romans, this was the far edge of the world, the far edge of the empire. And the capital was Camalodunum, which modern Colchester, where Anthony Everett and Roddy Ashworth speak these days. 2,000 years ago, however, it was the center of Roman rule. And the ruler in Rome needed money collected from the barons of the tribes. That deal caused upset everywhere across the land, especially to the man charged with collecting from the local barons. They changed deals. That's what he did. Instead of granting lands, he started taxing the land, saying it was just a rental or a lease. The British tribes, the Britons, didn't like the deal being changed, didn't want to pay their taxes. So the Camalodunum accountant sent out some bully boys to collect the taxes. They persecuted and then brutalized one particular tribe, the Iceni. And therein lies the story of a woman who is enormously famous in Britain and not yet as famous in America, but it's coming. Her name is Boudica. Roddy, thank you very much. What do we need to know about Boudica? What do we know about the Queen of the Iceni?
Unfortunately, not as much as we'd like to. We don't know if she was born an Iceni. She may have come from a foreign kingdom. There'd been a revolt some years before between the governor of Britain and this tribe, the Iceni, and it seems that after that, whoever was king then was removed, and a guy called Prestatagus was appointed as king, and his wife was Boudica. But it's all a bit strange. Before, when Prestatagus dies, he's decided that he's going to leave half of his will to Nero, in a way to placate him, I suppose, and the other half to his two daughters. And obviously the question is, why didn't he leave any money to his wife? And we don't know why. It's not unusual for people. That wasn't a custom to leave the money to their daughters, but it was a custom to leave them to the wife, particularly among the what we could call the continental Europeans. So there's something going wrong there, and she's certainly not very happy when the Romans, when her husband dies, this is Prestatagus, she's not very happy because the Romans decide that all the gold that they've lent these nearby tribes wasn't, as you said, a gift, but was in fact a loan, which is nonsense, really. And also, unfortunately, that shadowy figure Seneca is in the background, lent an enormous amount of gold, and suddenly decided they wanted it all back, which is not the way that Romans lent money to people. Unfortunately, they would invest in villas and, well, I mean, I say invest, they would force the locals to build villas and schools and other things that you couldn't turn back into gold. So you're right, this procurator, who's in charge of the Britain of the province only because there is a war going on in the west of England, in Wales. So he's in charge, and he suddenly thinks, how am I going to turn all this money into gold when the money's been invested in things like schools and cats and dogs and pigs? I mean, it just isn't gold. You know, there's not enough to go around in terms of cash. So, yes, he invents a rather unpleasant policy of suddenly changing all the money that was given, and I think Tacitus says, to the best and most foremost Britons, in other words, to become client states. And he suddenly says, oh, no, that was just a loan, and we want it all back. So he's got himself in a credit crunch, basically. Seneca wants his money back. He hasn't got the gold, so he has to get the gold from somewhere.
There's a war going on, not the least because the Roman legions are attempting to suppress the Druids, whom they fear. The Romans were frightened of many parts of the magic of the Druids. And today, there's not a lot of clarity, but the Druids were powerful players moving between the tribes of Britain. The story is enormous. We're going to concentrate on Boudica. The Catus Decinicus, is the green eyeshade who sends 500 or so men to collect money that doesn't much exist. The Iceni resist, and these men, marauders, and they attack Boudica's daughters. Boudica herself survives, but Boudica is now enraged, raises an army of the Iceni and the Trinovantes, and marches on you, Roddy. She marches right on you, Camulodunum. Now, at this point, had the Romans experience with suppressing the tribes? Did they know what was going to happen?
No, and they should have done, because the Trinovantes, who used to sometime 50 or 60 years ago, Camulodunum used to be their land. And the Romans have taken it over from a previous unpleasant occupant. But they seemed very relaxed about the Trinovantes. They just thought they were peasants, really. And so they didn't have any city walls. They didn't have any defences to speak of. And what's more, originally it had been home to a legion called Legion 20. And the legion would have been had the legion been there, I think Boudica might have been stopped in her tracks. But unfortunately, there are probably only about 200, maybe 300 town guard. So what happened next was rather unpleasant.
Now, Boudica means to wipe the Romans from the face of the earth. That's what's correct. So impressive about her. She gives an order to these two large groups moving with women and children and cattle. They're moving in as a gigantic team to wipe out Camulodunum, including the temple built to Claudius. And is there a statue? I don't remember. Is it a statue of Nero or a statue of Claudius they destroy?
There's a statue. The statue of, archaeologists vary. There's been a big museum, a big exhibition in Britain about Nero a few years ago, and so they decided the statue was of Nero. I imagine when they do one on Claudius, they'll decide it's Claudius. It's one of those things. It's always been thought of to be Claudius, but having said that, it doesn't look much like either of them, so it's very difficult to know. But he falls on his front anyway. The Statue of Victory falls on his front with his back the town,
right?
Which is seen as being a sort of terrible portent of doom.
Men, women, children, dogs, cats, the whole town is wiped off the face of the earth, burned to the ground.
Absolutely. It's burned to the ground by the Iceni and the Trinovantes. There's one place they can hide in, which is a huge temple, really big temple. I mean, it's about the same size as you'd get in Rome, very ornate building. And they put about 800, 900 people in there. But the Trinovantes had built it. They'd been forced to build it. And they were also forced to pay for it, which is one of the reasons they were particularly annoyed. And it seems that what they did was they got up the sides. And, of course, they knew the building backwards and took some slates off the roof and then poured in boiling tar and stuff and burnt it from the inside. It's a horrible idea, really, if you think about it. Because everybody would have suffocated in the smoke or being burnt to death, which is really quite an unpleasant thought.
Boudica marches on Londinium and does the same thing because the Roman army decides that it can't fight there. It retreats to pick a battlefield. The Roman army is confronting perhaps 70,000, perhaps more. The numbers are very inexact. It's a spectacular scene. It's known as the Battle of Watling Street. The Romans are badly damaged by Boudica, but Do we believe she committed suicide or was died of wounds? What do we know, Roddy?
It's very difficult because we've only got two classical sources on this. And one suggests that she took poison, and the other suggests that she died very quickly after a small illness, which, I mean, I think most people would interpret as being an infected wound of some sort.
The rising of Boudicca in 61 AD is a measure of what it is to conduct an empire in 2,000 years ago. Boudicca very much challenges the superiority of the Roman army. Do they regard it as success when they defeat her, or are they badly intimidated?
No, it's rather, I mean, I think the word intimidated probably wouldn't be right, but they were shocked. I mean, they couldn't believe that that such a thing could happen. I mean, Britain was a prized possession for the Romans. It was a way of showing off to the Greeks and everybody around in continental Europe, look, we got Britain. You guys didn't even think it existed, and now we've got it. So, of course, to almost lose it was a disaster. And apart from anything else, it was a PR disaster, as far as Nero was concerned. Having said that, he briefly did consider pulling out of Britain. And if he had done that, then neither you nor I would be sitting here today. If we were, we certainly wouldn't be speaking English. And our court systems would be completely different. But he doesn't do that. He decides, partly in the name of Claudius, really, that it would be cowardly, and that he would not be he would lose a lot of face, and he would not be regarded in the way that he was before. So he decides to stay there.
Boudicca's...
But for the Britons, no, it's very messy because most of them are slaughtered on the field. And because this wasn't an army as such, I mean, there were some warriors at the front on the front line, but behind them were butchers and bakers and, you know, farmers. And so when the Romans really get into the meat of the men, then they're really pretty incapable. But because they were so excited at leaving and bringing this army to Rome, they didn't plant any crops in their native lands. So when they went back, not only were they very beaten up, and although they were virtually being annihilated, but when they went back to their lands, those who could, there was no food.
Right.
So there was a famine, and then the Romans came back after them and slaughtered more or less the lot.
2,000 years later, we celebrate Boudicca for rising up against the invaders, the Roman Empire, led by Nero at this moment. The book is Nero, Matricide, Music, and Murder in Imperial Rome. It's time to go back to Rome and the plots around Nero, especially connected with his behavior. Anthony Everett, Roddy Ashworth, are the authors. I'm John Batchelor.